This is the News and Talk of Nevada. Now, Bosma on Business with award-winning entrepreneur Mike Bosma. We're getting Northern Nevada back to business on News Talk 780 KOH. And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime.
Good morning, Reno. It is Mike Bosma, your business savvy CPA, coming to you from the KOH studio. Yes, 10 to 11 every Saturday morning. We have 60 minutes of action-packed business adventure. Yes, you want to stay tuned to learn about all those little hobbies that might become a business and put the kids through college someday. So have an exciting show for you. Of course, the co-host in crime, Randy, what's shaking?
Mr. Bosma, good to be here. Can't wait to see what I'm going to learn today on the show. Okay. It's always fascinating.
We really try and make it sure that it is never a dull moment. Yes. Speaking of never a dull moment, Rick Redding is our business advisor extraordinaire. Rick is a financial advisor, investment advisor. What do you like to be called, Rick?
I like to be called Rick.
Rick, okay. That's what it says, business advisor, Rick Redding, no other. So what's your business, Rick?
Pinnacle Resource Management. Pinnacle,
and you manage people's money.
We do. We kind of handle it a little differently these days, you know, where most people are white-knuckling the market. We have a lot of strategies that are alternatives to the market. And
okay, so I got a question for you. So I don't know what your minimum investment is, but can I just open up a $1,000 account? And would you?
We probably wouldn't be a good fit if you only had $1,000. We think that should be in a shoebox, probably. But for smaller investors, sure you could.
So my money's not good for Rick Redding, is what you're saying.
Well, Mr. Bosma, your money is always good.
Okay, because with all the tomfoolery that's going on with the market, sure. I want to put $1,000 in a S&P 500 ETF. Because of all the craziness going on with Britain leaving all that. So any insight on that for us?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of opinion out there.
But what's your opinion, Rick?
My opinion would be, gosh, you're so early in the day for this. But honestly, you know, the banks are probably the greatest example of hype right now. We see the securities of banks moving up and down and all the possibilities of whether or not the European Union is going to be able to continue to exercise trade the way they want it, or is England going to exercise some independence? So, you know, I'd have to say at the end of the day, like a lot of things out there, it really depends on your bias, whether you think it's a buying or selling opportunity.
So qualified, it depends. So, that's where it's, I think it'll be interesting to see how the dust settles. Of course, my bias is it's not going to matter.
I agree.
So, okay, so you do agree.
I do. I have an opinion, but I try to, on something like this, it's better for cocktail party banter than...
That's what we do here in the radio, Rick. just friends. Friends.
I'm waiting for the cocktail.
There's nobody listening, right?
Randy, come on. It's Saturday morning. Come on.
That's right.
Keep the party going from last night to rage.
Hang on. Let me go get them.
Okay. So, and that's where it's like, you know, this kind of idea of, you know, if I give you $1,000 and just... Because we all threw money in at the office, that it's not going to matter. Of course, the market's going nuts down.
Sure.
So I'm like going, it doesn't matter. So it can't matter. So that's why I put my own money where it is. Of course, I do not give investment advice. Just do whatever Rick tells you.
All right. Yeah, I should probably throw in one of our disclaimers.
Right, This show is not for investment advice. Right, okay. Speaking of not giving investment advice, Brianna Bollettini, creator of Robbery, is our business owner in the studio. So, Brianna, welcome to Bosma Business.
Excited to be here.
So, I appreciate your patience with Rick and I's banter trying to figure out the stock market. You decided not to invest necessarily in the stock market. You decided to go all into a juice bar. So we start our show off with, what is your business? Give us the elevator pitch.
So I own Robbery, which is a cold pressed juice bar, Reno's first cold pressed juice bar. So we make a bunch of different elixirs, smoothies, juices, shots, acai bowls, all healthy beverages. And we do it in a very bravado way. We're stealing back your health. So it's a pun on a robbery of your most valuable possession is your health. And so stealing that back to then make the most out of your life.
Okay. So... And what are your hours of operation?
Weekdays were 7 to 7, and then weekends were 10 to 6.
Okay. So I just had this epiphany. Your place is a block away from my office.
Correct.
Do you deliver?
Not yet. We're working into it. So we're unpasteurized. So we're going through some interesting dilemmas in the state of Nevada.
So do tell. I can't wait.
So I started the business model in New York concept-wise. Never had the bricks and mortar in New York. And came out here, and the laws are very different as far as pasteurization. I think a lot of it has to do with goat milk and some of the other agriculture that we have here. So I have hit several roadblocks as far as distribution of my product. So I'm working through that with legislation and trying to see how we can. I'm the first of its kind, so I've had to kind of hurdle these frustrating roadblocks. But soon we'll be able to do delivery. We're trying to do it with Uber, actually, and then get offices to have fridges so then it can be more convenient, and your health should be convenient at any time of the day, right, instead of coming down to our store. So
you're speaking my language. I was going to say, I was like, the smoothies by about 3 p.m. So we do smoothies in the morning. I'm sure nothing, it's not cold pressed. It's blended.
We have smoothies too. Yeah.
Okay. So, usually about 3 p.m, I've hit my wall and I need something to eat.
Right.
Or somebody will lose their head. So I was thinking, this could be.
And that's the natural energy. That's what's so great about juice. This is it's already in liquid form. You digest it a lot easier. So it goes straight in the bloodstream. You actually get that natural energy that lasts without the crash. And so we definitely are advocates for the office fridge just because you hit that afternoon 3 o'clock and you need not coffee to keep you up all night, but some other natural and all your nutrients as well.
So how much does it cost?
It all depends. So it's 4 pounds of produce.
Gosh, you've been hanging out with Rick. I'm trying to get in, but no.
It all depends.
What do you want to, depends, boss. What's your up to amount?
I wish it was black and white. It's not. So depending on our green juices, that's 4 pounds of produce, right? So that's, you know, your daily amount of greens. And so this, our most expensive one is Let Us Help You. And so that one is almost $10. So you have E3 Live, you have dandelion, you have parsley, all these things you otherwise maybe wouldn't consume. So that's our most expensive. But we go to waters that are a little more just they're infused. And so those are about $4. Our shots are about $2. So the price range
varies. I just want to make the hunger go away.
Yes. So you're getting all your nutrients in liquid form. So you actually are satisfied. You're very full. And so we also offer cleanses. That's something else. People feel like they can never go 3 days with just plain liquid. But the cleanse has all your nutrients. You're not just drinking water, right? So you actually are, you are satisfied.
Hmm. Thank goodness we're not a TV show.
Ain't that the truth?
I'm a little uncomfortable that she's looking at three guys that are obviously middle-aged and talking about cleansing. I'm a little nervous.
You'd be surprised. The demographic, I was shocked when I was bringing this from Brooklyn. I thought it would be a very, you know, millennial concept, and I only have a niche market, and it's been, it blows my mind who comes
down
there.
So can I lose weight on a cleanse?
You can. It's kind of, you don't want to crash lose weight because you're going to gain it all back when you go back to solid food again. It's more to just detox and get all the toxins out of there. You'll feel elevated. You'll feel more mentally there. It's good to just kind of get all that gunk
so
out.
So the cleanse then, you just drink fluids or liquids?
6 juices a day.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How much bourbon?
That'd be zero. Zero bourbon.
The real question.
That's
wait.
Right.
Exactly. Liquid, right? Bourbon
That's
works.
Liquid. Yeah. It's liquid. I'm on a liquid diet. What's the problem?
And Bosma's on the scene.
Right. Yeah. And there he is.
Right. It's a maker's mark infused.
That's right. That's right.
<Love funny>. It. So Robbery's one of 14 vendors down there, and we're all startups. Most of them have a bricks and mortar and an online clicks and mortar. We call it, or clicks and order. So we all are local businesses, and the basement kind of organically came to life.
Awesome. So I'm going to get stuck on this for a little bit. So the cleanse, because I think this is going to happen right here live. So, because I'm feeling a little toxic. So if I want to do the cleanse, how much is it going to cost me? How much? And do I have to buy it every day, or can I stock? Just go down and buy one. One
jug.
Refrigerator, one jug.
Right.
They call that a growler.
Growler?
Nice.
Okay.
So you can do it.
Hipster and whatnot. You're gonna get a plaid shirt and grow a beard now, right?
Maybe.
I've got the tie-dye shirt in the closet just in case.
1 to 5 days is what we recommend. So you can go one day, you're not going to get a massive impact, but you will, you know, feel some effect. But then we offer 5 days, and that, so it's about $50 a day. Roughly, you can kind of tweak it but we have structured an actual like nutrient dense plan of which ones you should have in order and what time of the day. So,
okay, I'm sweating because that's $50 a day.
Yeah,
that's a lot of greens, man.
All your produce.
I guess you're just exchanging greens, right?
For food, yeah.
but you got to be healthy. That's one thing. I turned 50 last year, and you only get one body, man. You got to take care of it.
Yep.
Right.
Absolutely.
So, okay. Right, Rick?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, So how much? So you sell these things $4 to $10. How much do you need to sell to make a buck?
I need to hit about 250 units a day. So,
ooh, that's a lot.
Yeah. I've been hitting it this summer. We've been doing really well. The bridge opening's been a night and day difference. With West Elm opening, it's going to be a huge asset for us. But and I was the first of its kind, so it kind of helps that, you know, right, there's nobody else in the market. Delivery will absolutely change my entire model, which will be amazing. But yeah, so 250 units, that could be anything from smoothies to shots. That's just kind of the ballpark to cover my costs.
So if you do, so 250 units, okay, that just feels like a lot. Mm-hmm. So,
the average customer comes in though and buys about three units, so three items.
Okay,
on an average purchase. So.
Okay, gotcha. 80 customers a day, ish. Mm-hmm. Cool. So if you're gonna, when you do delivery, do people pay for that or is that free?
No, people will pay for delivery, and we'll try to bulk them somehow, so we're not just doing constant orders out to Arrow Creek or something, right? So, yeah, you'll definitely pay for delivery. That's the beauty of Uber. It's built in, so Uber Rush is for food delivery or for item delivery, and so that's built in, so I don't even interact with the customer for that.
I was going to say, so if if I wanted to do delivery for you, how much could I get paid?
Yeah, maybe we can do our own pseudo Uber, right?
Well, no, I guess what I'm thinking is I'm going to walk down there. I'm going to get mine. If I can drop off a couple on the way back and pay for my smoothie, I've made money. If I can make money on this trip, I'm definitely going to do the cleanse.
Right, yes.
You just got to pencil it for
totally,
me.
Yeah. There's also, you mentioned getting your money back. There's a whole deposit for our glass bottles. So I'm adamant about doing glass versus plastic. So you get 50-cent deposit when you bring your bottles back in too, which will help when you're doing a cleanse of six juices a day, right?
So do I need to go to a Hash House or Go-Go before I start my class?
Yeah.
no bueno. Okay, no. Okay. So 250 units a day. I'm just thinking that's a lot. Yeah, so you got to get some kind of distribution method. But why don't you sell the stuff in Whole Foods or stuff like that?
Because I'm unpasteurized. So
that's back to the unpasteurized.
Shelf stability. Yeah.
Exactly. Sure. So there's just been, you know, the weird one-off cases where somebody's gotten sick or some child or something. And so they've just made it very strict here in the state of Nevada for pasteurization, which I'm just very adamant I'm not going to. I could easily go get pasteurized, right, and send everything over to Sacramento. But it's just, it defeats the whole business model of what we're trying to do with all natural organic produce. So I'd rather dodge that bullet and create a whole new infrastructure.
Okay. What do you think, Rick?
Well, just popped into my mind is it must be a real chore getting that much produce, that high quality produce. I mean, we're
local too. So
wow.
Local is 250 square miles technically. So, you know, in the winter has been fun. So over up to Northern California and our more exotic, like our acai berry and our coconuts, those aren't local, of course. Like those are South America, Thailand. But it's a lot of produce. 4 pounds goes into each bottle, so you can imagine.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm literally baffled. I was just like, that's a lot of produce. It's got to be intensely healthy for you. So what I'm going to do when you come back, maybe talk about like what you can do for health claims. And let's talk about a little bit of insurance and then talk about employees and all that kind of tomfoolery. Building out your robbery on Bosmont Business, News Talk 780 KOH. Welcome back to Bosmont Business. Your host, Mike Bosma, in studio. I've got my business advisor, Rick Redding, talking to Brianna Bullentini, owner of Robbery, really kind of trying to riddle the fresh-pressed juice market. So I appreciate just coming and sharing your journey. A lot of times people will say, hey, I've got, I make this great juice at home, and maybe if I can do this for other people, you're going to help them. And so I can kind of see the genesis of how this kind of a business comes together, but there are some obstacles you've encountered. One is regulation in the state of Nevada. In fact, if you were to look at regulations overall, Nevada is one of the most regulated states in the United States. Really surprising. I kind of think wild, wild west, unless you're in business. And then they have, and really because there's a lot of shysters that came here and they, had to put protections in place to protect consumers from shysters. But those, as legislation goes, they're still in place, even when the shysters go. I think about the different pinnacles or touch points, I should say, in a business model. So price point 4 to 10. How did you decide how to price this stuff?
Right, not having anything else in the market to really go off of. Right. I you know, cover my costs. I'm definitely not keystoning anything because I think if I were to do that here in Reno, people wouldn't look at the prices. You go to San Francisco, you go to New York, it's absolutely keystoned, and you're paying $14 for a bottle of juice. So definitely lowered my costs out here, but knowing that I could make it up in quantity, knowing that there was a demand, knowing that people do love local and they live a very local life. So I just, you know, I went with a number that's comfortable that I could also cover my costs and make some profit and I make it up in other areas. And so, you know, our infused waters aren't, you know, crazy expensive to make. So make it up in other areas.
Okay. And how many employees do you have?
I have 21 people on payroll, which is insane. But I'm also opening two other businesses right now. So they all blur the lines right now.
Okay.
So, but yeah, payroll soaks me right now. So we are working on that.
Chest is tight right now. I think I need a cleanse.
Yeah. Child labor laws are tough.
I know. Right.
So 21 employees.
It's a very labor intensive business. So you're pressing everything. I think that's why a lot of people residentially don't make their own juice, right?
Right, because it's a lot of work. Right, you have a lot of byproducts.
Absolutely.
Right?
And at home, you're doing it centrifugally. So juice 101. Centrifugal is when a blade goes around and it cuts it up and it oxygenates the juice. And so then it lessens the impact and you don't get as many enzymes. So we press it. So there's hardly any pulp left when we do it. And then the pulp that we do have, we either make crackers out of or we compost it back to our farmer. So it's like this full circle. Okay. So at home, you have to take all that and you know, your little blade doesn't cut up nearly as much. You don't get as much of an impact. You have to clean your juicer. So it's labor intensive when you're at home. So imagine doing that for an entire juice bar, you know? So labor is by far my biggest expense, but.
Okay. And how many are full-time versus part-time?
Full-time, there's only three of us.
Okay. And did you set up a sole proprietorship, LLC, or a corporation?
LLC.
LLC. And why'd you pick LLC?
That's what my attorney told me to do. First business. I'm learning in the ways.
That's okay. No, it's like we just talked on last week's show about get a good advisor team. So, yeah,
absolutely.
You get the people that are going to be able to kind of help steer you. Of course, I'm a fan of... I called it on last week's show. You go to kqh.com to listen to it. Edutainment. And that is, you know, I try and educate business owners from a kind of anecdotal perspective. Mm-hmm. A lot of CPAs, a lot of attorneys, a lot of business advisors, they kind of speak over business owners' heads. And so if I'm really, really, really good, I should be able to speak in a way that you can understand and know how to execute that in your business.
Absolutely.
But yeah, that's where a lot of businesses now start off as LLCs, both save $100 in the Secretary of State filing fee, but also you have flexibility. And now, yeah, and you've got a business partner in this little event, right?
Robbery is just me. So I have 100% ownership of Robbery. For my other two ventures, yes, I have partners in those. And then I'm also, my real job is I'm a designer. So I'm designing the old post office downtown. So yeah, Bernie Carter's my partner on that.
Okay. And I was, introduced to you at the Best Businesses Awards.
Yes.
You were absolutely charming and talking about your relationship with Bernie, right? So how is it having Bernie as a business partner?
So Bernie Carter's part of that old, what do they call it? The old men's club of Reno. And so,
I thought that was us.
Yeah. And you know, the older ways, more conservative, they went through tough times. They built Reno, right? Rolled up their sleeves, built Reno. So then I come in as the new progressive straight out of New York, coming in with all these ideas, a million miles an hour. So the two of us together has been a great example, I think, for the city of Reno of passing the baton of the old and the new. So of course, you know, we have our fights. We talked about it that night at our little award ceremony, that we have our fireside chats where I'll pitch all these ideas and he shuts all of them down. And so it's kind of been this fun me learning, you know, and not coming in that I know everything, but also pushing the limits of saying, hey, this is how you be progressive. This is how you build the new city of Reno. So it's been amazing and struggles as well, but that's how you create change. So,
well, yeah, and that's where pushing on the things that need change. You alluded to, you know, some of our regulations. Yeah, like I said, Nevada really overly regulated. I think, you know, I've kind of had this perspective on statutes, ordinances, regulations, that it should be net neutral. Mm-hmm. That is, you have a finite amount of them, and if you're going to put a new one in, you have to take one away.
I agree.
You know, it's impossible for a business owner to know it all.
Yeah, and well, you learn, right? I would have never known unless I would have opened that business or certain things. Right. I'm in the world of architecture, so then just ADA compliant coming from the state of New York where they just build on top of everything and adaptive reuse everything, coming here where there's you're building new all the time, I was learning all these new laws of right. the state of Nevada. So it is, it's mind-boggling how strict we are here for being the Wild West.
And well, yeah. So you go to New York, you're all government, you know, regulation, blah, blah, blah. You're like, no, you have a lot more latitude there because they're trying to get density in use, right?
And try to be progressive. Those are the cities of the pulse of culture. So they're like, hey, we got to change our laws. We got to do this. It's a sharing economy. We have Uber, Airbnb, and they work with that. You come out here and it's like...
And they're like, Uber, shut it down.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Kicked Uber out for a while.
Yep. But times are changing. So I smell it. I see it. Hmm. Times are changing here.
Okay. So as a business owner, how do I capitalize on it? I guess that change. What do I need to do?
Just stay close to the times. You know, not that you need to look at other models and make your business model of LA or Denver. Mm-hmm. You don't need to do that. You just need to push the limits. I think in Reno, we've always just done what's comfortable because people come back for the habitual same thing. I think don't be scared to push the limits and try to be something new. The other cities are looking at Reno businesses like, look at that. They're doing something different.
Right. No, that's it. It's like, I know this collaborative business center that I've got it's neat to kind of see how, you know, there's incubators and things, and there's co-working spaces, but in terms of just having business advisors specifically in a building, kind of, you know, one-stop shop, have done it in financial services to a little of a degree, but really not for general business. And so it's neat to be able to do that. Then you kind of watch them pop up around. You can see Adam's Hub and Carson, and you know, say imitation is the best form of flattery, you know? And so, hey, you know, you're right. It does take a village and you need a team, and just, you know, I'm happy. I got all the best advisors. So,
yeah.
Call it first mover advantage.
And Reno really is this hotbed of entrepreneurship right now. Right. Everybody is willing to help each other. And even if they have a 9-to-5, somebody, they're still an entrepreneur, you know, at night. And so it's cool to see that. And you have that local base to pull from here that I don't think any other city right now has that.
Well, yeah. And especially, you know, you're kind of almost at ground zero in downtown and kind of connecting a lot of what's going on at the university, Startup Row. Me in the financial and business district, and then to Midtown. So it's just, you know, it's interesting to see how that will, I guess, build itself out. One of the things that I think people get a little heartburned over is, you know, this, when you talk about millennials and hiring the younger generation and having them come to work and whatnot, and all this insane notions that people have, but there's a different way to engage them. And I think let's do this when you come back. Let's talk about those 21 folks and how you keep them engaged to make the best juice ever. It's Bosma on Business News Talk 780 KOH. Welcome back to Bosma on Business. Your host Mike Bosma in studio. Randy O from the BBC. Randy, what's on the agenda?
Well, Mike, I'm glad you asked. So on the 19th, we're going to have a lunch and learn at the BBC. Right, it's going to be 11:30 to 1, and we're going to talk about, don't take it personal. Where to hold your assets? Do you want to hold them within a business, or do you want to hold them personally? And this again comes from your Prius example that we've talked about.
Right, right. So basically, the genesis of the show was business owners. So in studio, I have a business owner, Brianna Bolantini, Rick Redding. So do you guys have an auto that you use in your businesses? No. Yes. No.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay, it's radio. I can do. You can't see you.
You can't nod.
You're supposed to speak into these things.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's a microphone.
Oh, thank you.
So, Brianna, no auto?
I don't know.
I mean, do you have an auto that you deduct in your business? You drive it for business?
Not necessarily, no.
Okay. So a lot of times, this concept came out of a business advisor meeting that Rick Redding, of course, one of our great business advisors, we're talking about fodder for these lunch and learns. You know, what do business owners need to know that they probably don't know? And,
right.
And this came out as like, okay, the automobile, right? It's like, do you want to buy it? Do you want to lease it? Do you want to, is it owned by the business or owned by you personally? So a lot of times people, they own it personally, but they use it and deduct it in the business. So it's not titled correctly. Of course, I had the idea. It's like, no. That's not how you do it. You own the 2007 Prius because it costs about 21 cents a mile to operate. You get 57 cents a mile reimbursement. So use it in your business. Have them drive around in your Prius, and you make all the money.
Cha-ching, cha-ching.
Cha-ching, 30-plus cents tax-free money. right? So you're trying to, you know, how do you extract money out of a business efficiently? And of course, then Mark Hutchings is like, Mike, but if you do that, you've got this insurance thing that you got to really be sensitive to because you're using that in your business, and there's a special rider you need on that insurance policy to make it covered. And I was like, oh.
You're going to have to ask him about your Uber idea too.
Yeah, I'll have the Uber delivery, right? So I was going to walk. I thought, if I'm going to go do the cleanse, right, I'm going to walk the two blocks to go buy. Again, I'm not driving the car.
Right.
Okay, that's how that works. People still walk, right. They cannot get them to walk.
Can we come back
Reno.
To me?
Yes.
Okay, so
what else
we've
is
got
going
this,
on?
We've got
it's
this
all about you, Reno.
We've got this fantastic event that's going to take place. Business owners need to get out there. Go to BosmaBusinessCenter.com. Go to the live events tab and register. Come see us. Have lunch on us and learn where you need to put your assets, how to hold things.
How to cover your ass.
Smart.
Okay, back to you.
Thank you, Randy. Well said. So, yeah, and that's where we've got a lot of content on the Bosma Business website. So you go there. It kind of links to my blog. A lot of stuff in tax land you need to be aware of. First, what are your trending sales going to be for the year? What do you think, Brianna?
Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah.
Well, let's just put it this way. So if we do 250 units a day, that's about $10 a unit at the most. Let's say like a medium is like $6 units. You guys can do the math. Every day's been hurting us. Weather drastically hurts us, which has been, or not every day hurts us. The weather drastically hurts us. So you can, you know, the weather's been decent. You
the
guys
weather's
can
been
do
right.
The math.
Okay. So, but then, you know, you're going to be a little off in, you know, in the winter, right? Because I mean, is that fair? Winter is a slow season for you?
Not as much because we are like a hangout space too. So people like to get away from the elements and come hang out down there. We also offer hot teas and some of our beverages right. hot. So.
Okay, cool. So $5, let's call it average purchase, say $5, 250. Right?
Units a day. Mm-hmm.
So units a day, that's $1,250 in revenue.
Yep.
Right, times 365 days, $456,000 in revenue.
Not bad.
Okay. 21 employees.
Yep, here we go. Here we go.
Mike's got the calculator out.
I'm an accountant. It's all about margin, right? So what's your cost of sales run roughly?
Sales are...
Like how much... So for a $10 pressed beverage, what's it cost you to make?
To make all the way? It's about, I would say, $4. That's including... bottle tags, all of that.
Okay.
But again, produce varies with each one. So our most expensive one is probably about $6 to make. So definitely not Keystoning. And then the other one is, I would say, like our lowest one to make is $3.
Okay, I got you. Yeah. So and that's where a lot of times, accounting wise, people, you know, they come and ask, you know, we're getting our business set up. What accounting system should we use? And it will either go to zero, but you really the gorilla in the marketplace is QuickBooks, and it's just you know getting QuickBooks set up so you can track all that kind of tomfoolery and kind of know where your labor is and match it to sales. And what kind of point of sale system do you have?
Counta. They're all of the juice bars out in New York. I'm not the biggest fan of them. We run into some hiccups, but their merchant fees are less than Square. I like the whole sign the iPad gizmo. It takes Apple Pay. You know, it's progressive, but we've just been running into some kinks. We're also in a basement that has the worst internet ever.
Internet ever,
so
right.
That might be part of it, yeah. But the other vendors down there, I'm looking to switch over to their POS systems, and we'll see.
Gotcha.
But it all links to QuickBooks, which is the beauty, and every night I can check in from home. It's nice.
Right. And so, and that's just a matter of, you know, are you managing accordingly? It's like, okay, how are we doing our sales? We, you know, toggling back on labor, pushing the needle, cost of goods sold also. Cause that's, you know, literally from, you know, depending on how much you're buying, you can have positive or negative margin.
Right.
Based on pricing. So.
And those are the two that I can really toggle with is produce is going to vary drastically. You know, I'm all organic. If I were to go just conventional, it would be a totally different price point. So that one's the one I can definitely toggle with. And then labor, right? But if I don't have labor to get it done, we're not going to have any product. So just trying to cram as much productivity in a short amount of time.
Right. Yeah, get them work for an hour and send them home.
Yeah, that would be nice.
That'd be awesome. So, you know, Rick, as a financial advisor, you know, obviously capital intensive business, you know, what does she need to be aware of as far as, you know, your neck of the woods on the investment advisory part of the equation?
Oh, wow. You know, looking at it, I got to compliment you. I went online and did a little research prior to the show. And I think she's taken the first steps, in my opinion, are incredibly well done. The website is beautiful, educational, draws you in.
Thanks.
And it's all about the culture you're creating. I think the number one thing we find is that when a business has a great idea, they try to grow too fast. Mm-hmm. And sometimes someone that's a visionary can outdrive their headlights a little bit.
Call it getting over your skis.
That's it.
Absolutely.
So I would say to encourage you to, you know, stay the course, but I think you've got to drive people to that site so they understand that it's a place. I mean, that's why, you know, we've all been to the dreaded Starbucks, right? It's not exactly the best coffee you're going to get, but they try to create an environment. Mm-hmm. And you guys have that beat hands down. So I think that's where that's where you put the money, okay, is to create the culture.
And I think with that, too, is a team, right? I'm a designer by trade, by mind, I'm a designer. So then going into business, I had to definitely seek out the skill sets. Yeah. And they've kind of led me on that direction of, sure, you can create that lifestyle, you can create the hype, but then your numbers also need to number out, you know, as well. So,
well, no, and I'll tell you, I'm a big fan of Mark Esty, you know.
Absolutely.
And, you know, well-documented, well-publicized. You know, he got over his skis and really... it was really an accounting problem, right?
Just when you're doing something well, everybody and their mother is going to come to you with a concept, and they want you to be that face and to drive it when you're doing something well. So he saw a lot of exciting opportunities, and I totally hear him on that.
Yeah, and so that's what, you know, he just relaunched Liberty down in the old provision space, and that's where, you know, Mark's promised he's going to come on the show, kind of share his journey. But that's where it's just you know, and I can say we were talking on the break, you know, with Rick, you know, what did you say, Rick? You're either winning or learning.
Sometimes you win and sometimes you learn.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. So yeah, the best learning opportunity is when you fall flat. And I can say that absolutely for me. So it's just a matter of, yeah, learn from those, but ideally you make the mistakes on paper rather than experience them. You learn from, you know, kind of the people around you to kind of help you guide you rather,
yeah. OPM. School,
yeah, other people's money.
Right?
Other people's mistakes.
Sure. Okay.
But I think a lot of people, and this kind of goes back to the millennial that we mentioned, I think a lot of people go into this scared to take that leap. I don't have the finances, you know, or I don't have this, or I've never done it before. Mm-hmm. And there's other people that have that can guide you through. And like we said, the best way to learn is to try. If you fail, you learned and you move forward, you know. So to not let all that scary riffraff that you don't know hold you back from taking that leap.
Well, I'll say this, Brianna, there's a lot of haters out there. You know, and by that I mean
absolutely
people that in their, you know, they usually never talk to your face, but they're just whispers, you know, like, oh, you know, and really kind of don't want you to succeed. I mean, I'll tell you, there's, you know, in CPA land, I can say that's absolutely true, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, I'm probably one of the more visible CPAs in town. I am passionate about businesses and business owners. I give a lot of my time away to help all of those endeavors. And it's amazing, you know, just that we've talked about maybe merging with some people, and people are like, I'm like, what is your problem? Yeah. And they're just literally all agitated because I'm trying to help business owners, you know? I'm like,
but that's when you know you're making bold statements that people are willing to get, you know, hot about and have an opinion about. You're doing big things and you're making change, and it's not going to please everybody.
Right. No, that's true, I guess. So, but yeah, you just got to be ready for it. You got a thick skin.
Yep, alligator, right?
Alligator. That's exactly right.
If you don't got alligator skin, you're either the alligator or the food. You pick. But yeah, that's where you'd be able to kind of toggle that and be willing to, you know, learn from your mistakes. I think that's probably a lot of times business owners, they try and pretend that it was okay instead of just like, whew, that was painful.
Right.
So we're talking about millennials. So I want to be able to get this in on this segment. You got 21 people, I'm assuming, probably average age, what, 75?
Yeah, that'd be nice. We might get a lot of labor done. No, average age, I would say 22.
Okay.
Average age.
And average per hour wage?
About $10 to $12.
Right. So, you know, that's not a living wage. How do we do this? You know, $15 an hour. Anyway, so how do you keep them engaged and motivated?
Well, you know, I'm biased, but Robbery's been the hot place to be, the hot place to social media wise. So they feel privileged to work there. We also have this insane camaraderie of all of us. We all were strangers. None of us knew any of each other before robbery. So we've created this, you know, a little family life almost. So it's very enjoyable. They say that why they work there is they get to choose the radio that they get to listen to when we're in there. The music that they're listening to when they're working is incentivizing for them. So, and I also think with millennials, you want to tie them in with opportunity. They're learning. Right. They're seeing me young as an entrepreneur. They can learn a lot. So I think that's incentivizing for them to be around that day to day.
No, that's awesome. Like I said, congratulations on your successes. Make sure you keep checking in. And
thanks. We'll do.
We'll check progress. Yeah, because I think that's a lot of times with the human capital part of the business. We talk about, you know, dollar capital, but human capital, you know, how do you make that all work? We come back again at that number one thing when you're investing in people. It's Bosma on Business, News Talk 780 KOH. Welcome back to Bosma on Business. Your host, Mike Bosma, talking about robbery. Not the kind that to get ripped off, the kind you get better health, right? So in studio, Brianna Bullantini, creator of Robbery. Of course, business advisor Rick Redding, financial advisor, of course, and Randy O. So, one of the things we're talking about, human capital, 21 folks at Robbery. How do you keep them engaged? How do you know what's the HR component? Who wants to start? So, Randy, go ahead.
I think that, you know, I've had large groups of people I've had to manage before, and you hit on something in the last segment, you know, making it a fun environment. It's not, you know, for old guys like me, it's about money. I want to make money. You know, in vacation time. But I had employees that could care less about the money and the vacation time. They cared more about the environment, you know. Right. So finding out what's important to them, I think that's you probably hit a key element there.
Absolutely.
Rick?
Well, I think, you know, Randy keeps looking at my notes. I'm a little uncomfortable with that. But,
he did it all through college.
But college? I really think it's helping them buy into the vision. I mean, you didn't do this because you just needed to make a buck. You could design things and make a buck. Mm-hmm. There's a specific vision when I look at your website, and you're passionate about it. And I think the folks that you're fortunate enough to work with, that age group, I've seen it in my own kids, they want to do things that are going to matter, and they want to be passionate. And you give them a vision to be part of, and I think you just make sure that they continually know that they're valuable. And you can't get where you need to go without helping them get there, too.
Right, right. Yep, very, very true.
I think the value that you hit on is key. So I make it a point I was an athlete all my life, right? So everybody on your team sports that they all have a set position, and that team would fall if you didn't have your position. So I give them all these positions of that you are a key. If you don't show up to work today, then the team will fail. And so that gives them the sense of responsibility and not entitlement, but they feel like they give something back to the greater core.
Right.
And that's something at that age too that you kind of need, not the pat on the back, but that the machine functions because of you. Mm-hmm. So that I've seen really resonate with them, and that I lead from within. I'm the boss, but I'll be taking out the trash. I'll be doing dishes. Yep. I'm their age. I'm younger than some of my employees. And so there's definitely this idea that we're all in this kind of together. And mm-hmm. so that's been really cool to kind of see them respect that.
Well, yeah. And that's where this concept, I call it servant leadership, right? That's kind of like, there's really no boss, in our world, the CPA tax gig, it's the client's the boss. You know, we're all have different positions to play to serve them. And it goes from, the person who cleans the office to, the accountant to the receptionist to the project management. Everyone is vital to making all that magic happen. And so it's just a matter. Yeah, no, it's a good way to put that. And I 100% agree. I'd probably say when I talk to the human capital part of it, hire slowly, fire fastly.
Yep.
Most people get that exactly wrong. And you get a bad seed, it's going to ruin the whole batch. And so what?
No, you're absolutely right. Right. I've held on to people way too long.
Right.
And then when they're gone, life is just better.
Life is, right. And better for everybody. Better
for
them too.
For them as well, absolutely.
Yeah. Better for them too.
And it's funny how obvious it is. The energy you can just sense,
Right.
And so it definitely resonates, and you have to, clean that up quickly because mm-hmm. it will affect the whole business.
No question. Yeah. So that's, as I mentioned, as we look towards next week's show, more advisors, more entrepreneurs. Of course, you need that second pin on your tax return at 786-4900. I'm Bosma at thebosmagroup.com. Like me on Facebook. That's Mike Bosma. Only got a couple hundred friends left before I'm full. It's Bosma on Business. News Talk 780 KOH.